the American Journal Works that you're all jumping on with us. Happy New Year's, everyone. It's the final day of 2025. If you're like me and you wait until the very last minute to do things you said you were going to do in 2025, I've obviously got a jam-packed day for me ahead. But when it comes to traditions, my New Year's Eve traditions, I can promise you the one thing I always commit to is falling asleep before the ball drops. And I look forward to doing that again tonight. I hope those who do have plans, though, you enjoy them, of course, and stay safe. But yeah, a lot happened in 2025, and we'll be recapping just that later on in the show, and we'll be taking your calls later in the show as well to ask you what your favorite moments of 2025 were as well, and what we're looking forward to in 2026. Again, we got to be positive. There's a lot of negative stuff going on in the world, and I think we got to reflect on the good at least, and so we'll look forward to doing that in just a bit. We'll also be discussing what just recently happened yesterday in court, because there's some weird things going on right now in regards to the J6 pipe bomber suspect. The individual that they've arrested and they're accusing of being the pipe bomber himself, I've expressed my doubts, and I'm not yet convinced that this is the person who was the mastermind that had the FBI and DOJ hunting down the pipe bomber. The body cam video itself really reflects that this individual is someone who struggles with a mental disability, and it's really hard for me to pretend like this is the guy. This is the guy. We're going to talk about that. We're also going to talk about what happened in court, though. I think that's really, really important. You know, Brian Cole Jr. is the individual who's now charged with federal crimes. And there was an interesting move made in court yesterday that I'll detail for you in a bit. We'll also be joined with Joe Hanneman. Now, Joe and Steve Baker have been working extensively to dig into everything related to the pipe bomber. And they are trying their best to figure out what's actually going on here. Now, listen, I independently have my doubts that this is the suspect, and that's just based on reading the criminal complaint. It didn't sell it to me. But Joe Hanneman, well, he's doing a great job at saying and kind of detailing what his doubts are in regards to the criminal complaint, according to the evidence that they've released thus far. And, you know, it's not saying that, because they can't 100% say it, that this isn't the person, but I could say this. I'm more sold on the fact that this isn't the person, that this is the person. I've asked extensively several times for any type of physical evidence, real evidence that points to this guy being our guy. And I'm told there's more evidence coming out. I was given a deadline. I never received anything. So I'm not going to oversell you on this. Not going to pretend like the FBI is being transparent here, because that is not the case. And as always, we call balls and strikes here on my show. So we're going to continue to do that. Joe Hanneman joining me in just a bit to walk us through what he finds to be particularly concerning about this individual being called the suspect, and I'll detail what happened in court. Again, we got a lot more that we're going to be diving into in just a bit. And it's time to buckle up, because we got a lot more to discuss. But most importantly, we're also going to be discussing, I got this great video. I'm really excited for this. I wanted to find positive stuff to put on the show, but also things that are like, what the? So I have a great video that we'll play for you in a bit as well. It's a California homeowner finding out that there was a 500-pound bear living in his home. No, in the house he actually lives in. This isn't a part-time house. The bear and its cub actually were living under his house. And guess what? When you live in the state of California, you ask for help from your government. Well, they don't help you. So we'll play that video for you, because it's actually kind of crazy. It's kind of crazy. So we'll play that in just a bit. In the meantime, though, I can't stop talking about it, because it's a great sale over at thealexjonesstore.com. It's buy one, get one free on select supplements for the next few hours. So again, new year, new you. Kick it off the right way over at thealexjonesstore.com. All of your favorites are on sale. It's the select supplements that are up on the site now. We extended the sale for a couple more hours. Why not? So make sure you head on over to the shop and grab yourself some of these vitamins. Again, we're trying to help you get to your New Year's Eve goals. We all say we're going to be healthier, but do we actually do it? Well, I always try, and I actually accomplished it when I did it 2 years ago. So I highly recommend you all do the same. Head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now and stock up on your favorite items. This is the best sale I've seen thus far over at thealexjonesstore.com, and that's why we're extending it, because you all love it. So go over there, head on over there, grab up what you need, and when you do, you support us, and we love you for supporting us. So thank you over at thealexjonesstore.com. All right, more to dive into in just a bit. Buckle up. Joe Hanneman joining me to debunk all the nonsense we're hearing right now. So stay put. More to discuss about it.
Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on with us today. Happy New Year's, everyone. All right, we're kicking things off by diving into the very latest. We call balls and strikes over here, and it ticks off all the right people when it comes to federal law enforcement. I mean, folks, listen, I give them kudos when we have to, but I'm not jumping on this story. It's all in regards to the J6 pipe bomber suspect. They want us to believe that a man named Brian Cole Jr. is the individual who was behind putting down those two pipe bombs outside of the RNC and DNC. Now, folks, we've been following this story extensively because there was a lot of very strange situations about all of this. And I know that those individuals who are now, you know, in these positions of leadership once shared those same concerns with us. It wasn't strange back then, but for some reason right now, everyone's trying to tell us that this is the guy. And many reasons why I have my doubts. You're seeing here, there's a body cam video that was released in regards to that suspect. And it is very clear when you're watching it that he is not somebody who, he's somebody who has a mental disability. And it was very obvious because the officer in the video has to explain that he was following another vehicle too close. That is the reason why he's receiving a ticket. This was after a car accident. I believe this video is from 2024. There's also been other instances like that he's like a My Little Ponies fan, like a mega fan. And I believe that was released in the New York Post. Again, this is a man who's 30 years old. Like, that doesn't really make sense. Doesn't really make sense. And it has a lot of us concerned. Well, yesterday in court, the DOJ tried their best to make the argument that Cole should be locked up behind bars while awaiting his criminal trial. But it's quite strange when we were actually listening in. And Headline USA, well, they sent one of their reporters into the room, so I was able to go through their notes and put together what they learned while being in court. And so thank you to them for doing a great job and sending a reporter there. But here's what we know right now. Brian Cole Jr. is being charged with federal crimes. Now, a local D.C. Superior Court had a grand jury return the indictment, which is unusual for federal charges. It's not completely out of the loop, but it's very unusual. The federal court hasn't accepted the indictment yet because of the legal questions that are surrounding just that. And so the judge has pumped the brakes for a little bit and is just going to wait that out because, again, they're not sure if that could even be done. Now, the government tells the court in court, get this, yesterday, they had the guts to say that they haven't actually estimated what the damages would have been if those two pipe bombs would have went off. So they have no idea the damages that would have been done. Again, if these are viable devices, explosive devices, you'd think that they would have been able to draft this up, especially also because they put out, what, $500,000 reward? So it's really strange they haven't yet come up with an estimate, just an estimate on the damage that would have been done if those explosives were viable. Now, again, the defense is saying that they actually have an expert witness that says that those devices cannot explode, that they might have been actually missing particles that would have helped with that explosion potentially. Specific details on that, though, are still very unclear. And they also are claiming that those devices were not viable. Okay, so that's what the defense said. The prosecutor is still not being able to really debunk that because they don't even have an estimate. Now, it's also worth noting that the Fed took some of the material from, obviously, Cole's home during that raid, but they did not take his firearms. That was something that actually had Cole's family laughing in court yesterday, according to Headline USA. I don't know why they were laughing, but when that was kind of put out there, it was quite strange. Apparently he had firearms and they just didn't take those. That's worth putting out there, of course. Also, it's worth noting that the defense attorneys for Cole were trying to argue yesterday in court that Cole should be released to his grandmother, and his grandmother also has his sister living there as well at their Maryland home. And the judge did ask for the grandmother to come up and speak to him because he had doubts that maybe the grandmother might have an alliance to her grandson rather than to court if he were to release Cole. And he made that very clear that he actually did have those doubts. Now, it's very, very interesting because the grandma said, no, I would side with the court. This is a high profile case. And I would make sure that if anything happened, I would alert the courts. Okay, so that's another interesting angle to all of this. And then when the judge asked her, do they have any guns in the home? She did say, yes, they live in a gated community, but inside their home, they do have firearms. And those firearms come from her husband, who apparently once worked for the government under GSA. Okay, did you get all that? So yes, she says that she could take full custody of Cole. She would be siding with the courts if anything were to happen over her grandson. That's what she's claiming. And that would be very interesting. Now, obviously, Cole's been on the run for, if this is the actual pipe bomber, he's been on the run for, what, 5 years now? So why would we sit here and argue that he is a danger to society? He doesn't have a criminal record. He hasn't been accused of any other crimes during the time he was free. So again, it doesn't really make sense. Now, the government admitted that Cole rarely commented online as well, which is an important element to all of this. They're saying that this is politically motivated, obviously, that he felt like the election was stolen, and that's what motivated him to do all of this. But Cole, according to the own government, never actually posted things online, and instead he was just mainly a consumer. And that also came out, keep this in mind, when the government tried to go after the grandma for saying, hey, well, do you even see what he's posting on the internet? Are you supervising what he does online? Because they're trying to say, well, the grandma doesn't see what he's doing online. So how can he promise that he's going to supervise this kid when he, I keep saying kid, 30-year-old man, when he's released? But he doesn't post anything online. So again, it didn't even make any sense. A judge says that they need about a day to kind of sift through all of this. Again, the judge is actually Boasberg in this one. It's not weird how he always gets these cases. So buckle up. It's going to be a crazy one. Now, it's also worth noting, too, that, again, we have a specific, well, I guess we've officially learned that he, yes, is on the spectrum. He has autism and he does have OCD. And so that's what we're learning in the very latest as the DOJ is looking to prevent him from being released. Joining me to kind of dissect all of this, plus his latest report, is Joe Hanneman. He's one of the great reporters over at The Blaze, and he's with us now. Joe, it's good to see you, my friend. It's also good that you are working on the latest story with our other good friend, Mr. Steve Baker, who we wish him well. He is obviously recovering, and our audience was very excited calling in yesterday to hear the good news that he is recovering and he is doing well right now. So it's good to have you on the show, and it's good to see the both of you teaming up for this story that you've recently just released over at The Blaze. So let's go with the first part before we dive into the story that you've just released. We've seen the government yesterday in court try to argue that Cole is going to be a danger potentially if he is released without bail. If he's released before his criminal trial, let me correct that, which is a strange argument to make given the fact that they're claiming he's the pipe bomber, but he's been on the run for about 5 years now. So what the heck is the government doing here?
Well, you know, they say he's evaded detection or evaded police for 5 years. Yet the defense pointed out that he's lived in the same home in Virginia for, I believe it's at least 21 years, held down a job during that time. You know, he was very much a man of routines. And so this was not somebody who went on the run. This wasn't somebody who was trying to avoid detection. He was living, it sounds like, a very quiet, normal life in his mother's home in Virginia. So the notion that he was trying to evade detection, I think that fell a little bit flat. And I don't know that that was particularly weighed on the judge too much. But you know, I think that's one of the weaknesses in their attempts to paint him as such a danger to society that No amount of restrictions could protect society from this young man. And the defense pointed out that, look at his record for the past 4 or 5 years. You know, he's held steady employment. He has no criminal record. He's never been arrested. Was involved in a minor traffic incident that you showed the body cam from. But this is not somebody who has shown any propensity for violence. And of course, he is charged with placing weapons of mass destruction. But the judge isn't allowed to consider the likelihood or not that a person is guilty. You know, there's a presumption of innocence in these cases, and they have to have a forward-looking approach when they're trying to decide detention, because it's supposed to be exceedingly rare that you would detain somebody. We saw a lot of this with the J6 cases, that people were detained prior to trial, and indeed a lot of those ended up becoming punishment before the fact. So this will be a very interesting ruling over the next couple of days. If he releases Brian Cole to his grandmother, I don't know that the DOJ offered any evidence of his dangerousness other than the fact that he's charged with these crimes.
Yeah, and I think that's going to be a key point here. And we're going to wait to see what the judge says. We're expecting that possibly today or on Friday, that announcement regarding too. Even I've asked friends who are attorneys, because I've never seen this before, about the federal charges being kind of stirred up in the D.C. Supreme Court, the grand jury. That doesn't make any sense, because in D.C., I mean, that would be like a state situation, and it doesn't make sense to charge them on a federal level with a state court. So again, it doesn't make any sense. And even the judge was kind of confused by it, but has a lot to dive into to see if there's been precedents and what the law is on that. So we're looking forward to seeing that. But I want to get into specifically the criminal complaint here, because you've been doing a deep dive. And I told our audience from the beginning, when I read through that criminal complaint, it didn't seem like it was hard evidence. Now, normally there are cell phone towers that are utilized during crimes to narrow down who suspects are of murder cases. And I've studied that extensively too through several of the murder cases that I've covered, but this is really strange, because they've used his cell phone records to pin him into the area of these pipe bombs. But there's a lot of questions, and you just recently released an article kind of digging into all of that. So walk us through it.
Yeah, the initial statement of facts that was used to secure a warrant for his arrest relies heavily on pings from his cell phone. And his phone, according to the evidence the FBI submitted, showed his phone was at various places on Capitol Hill on the night of January 5th, 2021. But it's not nearly as clear-cut as that would make it sound. Is that the cell tower dumps and the information that the FBI initially retrieved can only say so much. And in fact, it can only put you in a very general area, and potentially a fairly large one for each tower that is involved here. So, we could not say, for instance, that Brian Cole was at the corner of whatever two streets at a certain time, because, you know, the pings just simply are not made to be that specific. And even the boundaries between the various towers and antennas, it's not like there's a hard line between them. So it's a bit of fuzzy science. And eventually they would have to get more specific and either bring in engineering data or some other indicators to try to prove his location, because what's in the criminal complaint simply is not enough to say with any clarity or certainty that he was actually in a particular spot at a certain time. So, that's going to be problematic, but, you know, this right now, they're just initially trying to establish probable cause, but the cell tower evidence is definitely problematic.
Yeah. And that's also the problem I had from the very beginning. Again, it could be used as a way to find out who, or narrow down your suspect pool a bit. But this was somebody who was, according to his family, a DoorDash driver. So it's important for us to keep that in mind as well. If he was sent over to the area for reasons of that, just you keep that in the back of your minds. But the criminal complaint too, and, you know, we could get into this a little bit as well, Joe, because they're talking about purchases that were made online a year prior to these pipe bombs being placed down, which is interesting given the fact that they're claiming that his motive was the election and his beliefs that the election was stolen. That's according to the DOJ. But to purchase a lot of these items a year prior is quite strange. And then, I mean, what it sounded like yesterday in court that the defense was trying to argue is the material that would have set these explosives off wasn't actually there. I believe that Headline USA was talking about some type of like black powder of some substance as well. So that's one of the other elements that's in that criminal complaint that they've issued. What do you think about that? And what else are you seeing from the criminal complaint? Because, Joe, I'll say this, you know, I gave the FBI and the DOJ a fair shake at all of this, and I reached out to the FBI to see if there's more evidence coming out anytime soon. And I was told as soon as the arrest happened that, yes, we'll be getting more evidence that's a direct connection to him, and it was going to come out at his first court appearance. But that actually never happened. I never saw any new evidence come about. And during yesterday's court hearing, we didn't really hear anything new that the DOJ had. So what do you make of all of that?
Well, there's been questions from the beginning as to whether these pipe bombs were actually explosive devices. I think that's going to be a challenge in this case to actually prove that these things could have gone off and caused the kind of damage that they apparently haven't even estimated. We have at least one former FBI agent and a current FBI supervisor who is a whistleblower, who have both said they were briefed back a week after January 6th as part of a surveillance project, and were told that these bombs were not viable. They were more akin to a training device, that they could not have exploded. There simply wasn't the kind of black powder that would be necessary to detonate. And so, you know, that has been out there, and the FBI and DOJ have kind of tap danced around that. They basically have said in the expert's report that the substances were there that, if in the right proportions, would make an explosive. That seems kind of a weaselly way to say, well, maybe, but maybe not. Even Stephen D'Antuono, the former head of the Washington field office, when he testified before a congressional committee, really couldn't answer that question. You know, and he was questioned about the kitchen timers, that how could these things be set to go off under the theory that they would interrupt Congress at the time of the debate on the certification of the election. And he said that it couldn't. You know, a 60-minute timer for a device that was set out 17 hours ahead of time, that simply doesn't make sense. So the defense has an expert, apparently, that would testify that these were really not bombs, that they were not viable, that they would not have exploded. And, you know, that seems to back up what the, Kyle Serafin, former FBI special agent, and then the whistleblower have both said, that they were briefed by the FBI experts 5 years ago. And they said these things are not and were not viable devices. And that makes sense when you see how they were treated around the DNC after the discovery by a Capitol Police officer. There was very little behavior that would tell you that somebody thought that device was real. You know, Secret Service stood around. Actually, they didn't even get out of their vehicles for 2 minutes because they were finishing their sandwiches. You know, if this had been a real pipe bomb, you would move very quickly to establish a blast perimeter. They would have evacuated the DNC building immediately, would have shut the trains down. They would have closed the streets off.
A new court filing details.
And they wouldn't let teenagers walk by within 10 feet of where that bomb was sitting. So, you know, it fits with a lot of what we saw. If these are not and were not real devices, just with the behavior of law enforcement around there. And that raised a lot of suspicion at the time.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it did. It did. And that's why so many people were so it was a head scratcher. I think a lot of people thought, well, just based on their reactions, that this wasn't as serious as they were making it to seem. So, yeah, I would go with that, Joe. I also want to get to the confession, the alleged confession, because the DOJ came out and said that Cole did confess the crimes he's accused of. But important for folks at home to understand, he does have he's on the spectrum. So it's important to highlight that. And as somebody who has a family member who also struggles with issues like that, he would constantly confess my family member to things that he didn't actually do just based on pressure. And so that was really concerning. But we know, yes, he is on the autism spectrum. So I want everyone to keep that in mind. And I don't think it's fair to taint a jury pool potentially. And it was not cool, I have to say. That's the nicest way to say it. When we saw the U.S. attorney, Jeanine Pirro, come out and openly say that he did make this confession, because it does taint the jury pool. And in fact, Cole's attorneys called it out, and they didn't like that either. What do you make of this? Because I see you guys have done the deep dive also on the alleged confession as well over at The Blaze.
Well, and as I note in the story, actually, I'm working on right now that will be coming out probably later today, that when he was questioned by the FBI after being arrested on December 4th, he spent more than 2 hours telling them that he was not the pipe bomber. He didn't do this. And for that entire span, he maintained that. And then at some point, they kind of leaned on him and said, you know, we would add criminal offenses to what you're charged with if you're lying to us. And then they left him alone in the room for, I believe they said it was 20 minutes, and then came back after that and said, asked him again.
Joe, did he have an attorney by any chance?
What's that?
Did he have an attorney at this time? Do you know?
He didn't. They said that he signed a waiver of his Miranda rights. But where this is going to be, the autism and OCD are going to become a very big issue. I thought that was probably the most telling thing from the hearing yesterday, is the defense certifying in their briefs that he has level 1 autism spectrum disorder and OCD. And I think now that the entire case is going to be recast in that light, to look at everything that has happened, including his interview and his alleged confession. I mean, he uttered the word yes when they asked him if that he was the person in the video. But it's well known. There's a lot of literature on this, that people with autism are prone to being led, gullibility issues. And false confessions are very common. So you have to really engage experts when you're questioning someone who has those kind of deficits, so you don't lead them into confessing to something they didn't do. And it's very common to please the person that is questioning you to agree with what they're saying and just to be agreeable. And so I think they recorded this video. It's going to get picked apart in experts in autism. And it's not like there isn't a lot of literature out there on how to sensitively handle interviews like this to get valid results. And it does not sound like that happened in this case. So I would expect the defense at some point is going to move to have that entire interview suppressed. Because even his waiver of Miranda rights, given his deficits, and that his grandmother says he operates at the level of a 16-year-old, is he mentally competent, and did he understand what he was doing? And you know, given how people think who are afflicted with being on the spectrum, you know, I think it raises a lot of questions on this. So this is going to become a preeminent issue as this case moves forward.
Yeah. Well, Joe, we look forward to your coverage over at The Blaze as you guys continue to dig into this. So thank you for joining us today and breaking all of this down. We greatly appreciate it. Joe Hanneman, thank you.
Thank you.
Folks, if you have someone who has struggles like this, who has this type of a disability, speak with your local law enforcement. Get it on the books, though, that if there's ever an incident that they have to contact the emergency contact, I do just that. It's really important that you do that. So make sure it's on the books so that this doesn't happen to your loved ones. All right, we got more to dive into in just a moment. Don't go anywhere.
I want to talk to you all right now about something beyond important. And it's about a choice that you have to make. And that's not hype. Ladies and gentlemen, InfoWars has been under unprecedented attack for really 15 years, intensifying when Obama in 2013 serially listed us as a terrorist organization for destruction by the CIA and FBI that was declassified earlier in the year by the Trump administration. I'm all over the Crossfire Hurricane. I'm all over the Arctic Frost as one of the main people to be taken out by the deep state itself. And the reason for that is we have the information, I have the background, I have the research, I have the guest, I have the crew, we have the giant audience. They tune in and they cannot stand what they hear being discussed on this broadcast. So when you spread the word about this broadcast, when you pray for this broadcast, when you share the articles and videos and reports or take them and make clips yourself and share them, this belongs to you as much as it belongs to me. When you do that, you are the amplification system. Again, you're not part of the fight, you are the fight. And when you support this operation financially, you allow us to stand up against the Paul Weiss law firm, the top Democrat law firm in the country, and we are having major victories against them. We've held them off, shutting us down, as you've seen, intensely the last few years, and it is just a knockdown, drag-out operation. But regardless, the Alex Jones store, thealexjonesstore.com, is not owned by me, it's owned by Bigley. It's funding InfoWars and the fight and the crew and the operation and the bandwidth and everything. And it's funding the Alex Jones Network backup that's been built. So it is absolutely critical that you go to thealexjonesstore.com. And until New Year's evening, we are running a ultra massive sale. Buy one, get one free on almost every supplement we've got. A few of them we can't because of methylene red, a small shipment came in. It's going to sell out probably today. So add, and this is the key. You don't just buy one of one type and get the same one free. That's the usual deal. You can buy any supplement and buy any other supplements. You can buy a $20 supplement and buy a $45 one free. You understand? So buy one supplement, get any other supplement you want free. Add any supplement to your cart and get any other supplement you choose free. You can mix and match any of our amazing supplements together, and they are the best. Ultra Methylene Blue, tincture and capsules, bovine colostrum, CMOS capsules, Life Force, Ultimate Life Force Spike Protein Cardiovascular Detox, Shilajit capsules and gummies, incredible. Ultimate Turmeric, 95% curcuminoid. Ultimate Power Drink Mix, which is even stronger than Turbo Force. If you like Turbo Force, you're going to love it. Ultimate Power Drink Mix, two great flavors now available at thealexjonesstore.com. High-quality concentrated beef cooking tallow. You asked for it, we got it. Ultra DNA Revival. You like DNA Force? This is even better. It's NAD Plus Booster. Atomic Defense. Incredible immune system boosting system. Ultimate Burn. Safe, healthy, metabolic rate turn up to help you lose weight naturally. MK Ultra. Great for your brain. The Tallow Balm. We never talk about enough. Optimal Human. The ultimate green drink. You've heard Harrison Smith rant and rave about it. It is all available at thealexjonesstore.com. And it makes this entire operation possible. So thank you from the bottom of my heart. Your support, we can't do it without you. Also, InfoWarsStore.com has some limited fish oil and turmeric that are high quality. Also, the collectible fundraiser posters limited edition that I designed. You can also make a straight donation there. We need funds. We got about a $300,000 underage going out in the next few months. We need your support right now. InfoWarsStore.com. You know who you are, the past supporters. I want to encourage those who have been on the fence to take action now. History's happening, and you're betting on a horse that continues to win. Thank you so much.
Now, back to our program.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're jumping on board with us today for the final day of 2025. And we're going to, you know, do a countdown of our favorite, my favorite, personal favorite, moves the Trump administration made so far this year. And we'll also be joined by Liz Harrington in just a bit as well, who's going to break down her favorite 2025 moments. Can't even speak. But that's typical for a New Year's Eve celebration. But listen, Liz is going to be here in just a second. We're going to dive into that. I wanted to talk about the fraud, though. We gave you the update at the beginning of the show in regards to what the Trump administration is doing to buckle down on the fraud. It's not just happening at the daycare facilities in Minnesota that are owned by Somalians. There's also a lot of health care centers and a lot of health care providers that are being called into question. Now, Nick Shirley has been boots on the ground in Minnesota, knocking on doors, asking simple questions of like, hey, can I get health care around here? And the kid hears crickets. Take a listen to clip 11 and how that went for him just a few days ago.
A list of all of the health care companies. Loads of them right here. We want health care.
No, it's okay.
Yes, we'd like to speak about getting health care here?
No.
Why can't I get health care here?
Wait.
Warning, you are under video surveillance. No trespassing, security armed. This is the strangest place I've ever been to get healthcare. Just a bunch of different places. Healthcare here, healthcare right here. Another healthcare company right here. There are three healthcare companies inside of this building right here in this room of 7C.
All right, so you can't assume that there's fraud going on here, but I'd say it's a little suspicious. Joining me to discuss, the former spokesperson for President Donald Trump, Liz Harrington, joins us now, and it's an honor as always to have her on the program. All right, Liz, you are the master when it comes to uncovering a lot of the fraud, specifically election fraud. We'll get to that in a little bit, but we're seeing all this financial fraud right now get uncovered. It is not just the daycare facilities that are being ran by Somalians that they're digging into right now. It's also the healthcare providers. Now, there's been several reports in the local news world about this going on for a couple of years now, but it's finally getting national attention, which I love because of the great work Nick Shirley's doing. So we just heard from the White House, the press secretary coming out, and Caroline Leavitt saying that we're looking into denaturalizing a lot of these Somalians potentially, as well as pulling now the funding from a lot of these programs. What do you make of the response from the administration thus far?
Well, that certainly sounds like great news. I think President Trump himself has been all over this for a while, even before the Nick Shirley video went viral. Mm-hmm. And that was going to be one of my top five just Trump moments of his rant against the Somali refugees, so-called refugees who have just been ripping us off, robbing us blind. But so that's great news. I think he'll be pushing for a lot of action. I think the key question is, will the FBI deliver? That is certainly an open question. Congress is going to do some hearings and they'll send some letters. But look, a lot of these people themselves are responsible for these policies. I mean, I heard that Tom Emmer is one of these representatives. He's in Republican leadership. He co-founded the Somali caucus in Congress. I mean, he's a Republican who was pushing these types of programs. So we have to clean this kind of stuff up. But when I first heard about this and saw these videos, this great reporting, it really took me back to my former life, my old days of, you know, scouring through these federal documents and looking for waste, fraud, and abuse, and it certainly wasn't hard to find. And that was like during the Obama years. And it's just amazing that this has gotten to this scale, though. I mean, there always has been this kind of, you know, funny, wasteful spending, research grants, and everything like that. But now it's at a level that the entire program is a fraud. I mean, this, and when I see this, they go to the addresses and there's nothing there. The daycare centers, there's no kids. The learning center that can't even spell learning. And this really tells me we need to not just look at Minnesota. We need to look everywhere because this has got to be going on. And it's just in broad daylight. And nobody's done anything about it. And, you know, they like to say, oh, there's been 99 indictments. That was for like the COVID era fraud, which I'm sure alone looking at the COVID money where they put the turn the spigot on and so much of our hard-earned money was wasted. That alone is a huge scandal. But nobody's still, where is, you know, the perp walk? Where is the huge press conference? Where is, you know, the raids? And you had people by Biden's DOJ and FBI raided and had their Declaration of Independence and copies of the Constitution confiscated. And those were the raids that were going on in the Biden years. And we can't even get, you know, raids of this type of criminal activity. That's what we need to see if we're ever going to have a hope of shutting this stuff down.
Yeah, Liz, I was digging into the DOJ and the FBI's response to this. And as you just said there, the indictments came down. The investigation was launched in 2022 into the COVID fraud. which was related to a bill that Ilhan Omar pushed herself, of course, but I'm sure that's not related at all. But I was told that the investigation into a lot of the Somalian fraud was actually taking place. It started under the Biden administration, and then apparently it was stopped under the Biden administration. And then I was told that Kash Patel directly pushed for it to be relaunched and to looked into again. So there's been new, obviously, convictions that have come from all of this. So that's at least a sense of relief. But yeah, I would say it's deeply concerning. This is something that's been going on for many, many years now. There was a local news report back in January of 2025 that was highlighting the fraud that they were finding in Minnesota as well. And so this seems to be an ongoing issue. And we have a right to ask these types of questions. And it's not just the daycare facilities. We're seeing, we played a couple of videos in the open of the show, there are the assisted living facilities. They're just people's homes, and they're claiming they have patients in their homes. And then when they ask, like, hey, how many people do you have living here? We don't have anyone living here. And they're openly telling these cameras that they don't have anyone living here. And so there's a lot more to dig into there. So we look forward to them uncovering this. But I wanted to get into something else. This is your specialty. You have been, for many years now, focused on getting to the bottom of the election fraud throughout this country, specifically in Georgia. Now, I'm told that Georgia is a Republican-led state. And so something like this is common sense that you would think that they'd push forward with and to make sure that their elections are safe and secure. But it's not really a top priority for them. And as we look at Fulton County, we see that what we were told didn't happen, and well, it looks like it happened. As we head into 2026 and we start gearing up for these midterms, what are some of the top priorities you want Republicans to take on? Because our elections are not safe and secure.
It's got to be the number one priority. I mean, to me, nothing else can be changed. Nothing else ultimately will be changed for the better in the long run if you don't have a free and fair election. And that's got to be the top priority. And we have to get rid of the system as it currently stands, the electronic systems, the mail-in ballots, the counting for weeks past election day, the voting for 60 days before election day. It is so open to fraud. And, you know, you mentioned Georgia, and that's the really sad thing about all of this is those Republican officials sitting at top of that state government, they want nothing to do with this. Why? Because they rig their elections too. They have rigged primary after primary. And you had Brian Kemp, who's got booed at the state GOP convention in 2022 and yet was able to beat his challenger, which was not a nobody. It was David Perdue, a former senator, by 50 points in his primary. I mean, and nobody ever even looked into it. I mean, you knew it was not legit. I'm not saying that Perdue necessarily would have won, but those numbers were just absurd on its face. I mean, none of the polling suggested a 50-point blowout from a former high-profile senator. It's just absurd. And you saw the same thing with Raffensperger. He got just above to avoid a runoff, the 50% threshold, when he was polling below against, again, not some no-name challenger. It was a former congressman, Heiss. So, and he's able to stay in office. And so these people are corrupt, and they've been allowed to use the system that has benefited them. So they certainly don't want to change it. But I'm so happy to see the rest of kind of the Twitterverse or Xverse, whatever you want to call it now, getting onto the Fulton County story, because it's, you know, this is kind of information that has been out there and we've been pushing out there for years now. But now Fulton County has admitted that the 2020 election, 315,000 votes, they didn't dispute the fact that none of those were signed and witnessed to. That is the entirety of the early voting votes in 2020. And it's because they had to remanufacture them. They didn't have the votes for Joe Biden. And this is one piece of evidence when you take it with everything else that they've uncovered, a lot of these great Patriot private investigators down in Georgia looking into this for years. It was quite obvious that they never had the results, so they had to manufacture them. So that's why none of the paperwork matches. They had to calculate the votes, tabulate them on different machines than so-called voted that they were voted on. And then you had tabulators that did not even exist. I mean, so it's not just you had Stephen Richer, a corrupt official from Maricopa, coming to Fulton County, their brothers in arms, right? Their defense saying, oh, no, no, this isn't a fraud. This is just like if you go to McDonald's and they don't give you a receipt and then you somehow say that's a fraud. I said, no, no, no. What happened in Georgia was Georgia ordered a Big Mac and instead they got a McChicken. And then they were handed a receipt that said they had always ordered a McChicken and you're just insane. There was never a Big Mac. That is how fraudulent this whole thing was. And that's why there's so much evidence. None of the machine count, the recount ever matched because they never had the votes for Joe Biden. And he's their McChicken.
Yeah. And that's you putting it nicely, actually. He is a McChicken, though. But, you know, Liz, when we talk about this all, it's so crazy to me because, like you mentioned, you've been talking about this extensively for years now and trying to get people's attention to the matter. And not just you, people who were legally representing the president of the United States, like Rudy Giuliani, have been covering this and trying to sound the alarms on all of this and do what the president's legal rights were at the time to go out there and try to challenge all of these local elections, the results that they were turning in, I guess you'd say. And he was met by a group of people who decided to, instead of proving that he was wrong in court and going through the facts and sifting through it that way, they targeted him. And the lawfare was just so overwhelming that he was pushed into bankruptcy because of it. And it's not just Giuliani, sadly, still. It's people like Jeff Clark, who actually didn't even send the letter that he was alleged to have sent. We now know 100%, which he's always said that he never sent the letter. But he was wrapped up into the Fulton County persecution as well. And then still to this day, right now in D.C., they're trying to just bar him. How do we make these things right? Because the lawfare, the process itself is very stressful, but the financial burden is completely bankrupting these people. So how do we fix this heading into the new year?
It's such an important question. And it's really one of the things I thought about too is, you know, this is why we need people like Giuliani and Jeff Clark in the current administration, people who actually had skin in the game, put their livelihoods on the line for the truth and have just been completely destroyed and attacked. And it's just been so horrible for what they've had to go through. And we have to make sure that the people that did that to them and the president and so many other innocent people, so many other innocent, you know, just supporters of President Trump, the people who are responsible for that, they need to go to jail. There has to be some accountability. And they need to break up, you know, after Charlie Kirk was assassinated, they said, we're going to break up this far left, you know, Antifa, the funding and all of that. And I sure hope they're working on that. But it's the same type of thing here. You need to go after the money. You need to go after the funding behind this lawfare, the people behind the Norm Eisens of the world. You need to approach it like they approached us and they made it all up. I mean, they're talking about RICO charges for tweets about watching OAN. I mean, that's what the case was in Fulton County, but they didn't care. They brought it anyway. We need to take that approach, but actually using the law, because there's so many laws that were broken. They did violate constitutional rights, and this was a criminal conspiracy so deep in spreading multiple states, and there's so many aspects of it, but you need to go to the heart of that. That's what needs to be broken up, and people really have to face accountability. And if we don't get that coupled with the fair elections, I'm so afraid that this will be squandered. All the work that President Trump put in, his life on the line, survived two assassination attempts. By the grace of God, he was able to come back and be the president again. And that is a gift. And we need to get the people under him to start taking it seriously and start, you know, acting as if the country is on the line, because it really is.
Yeah, Liz, it is. And as we head into midterms, too, I'm really getting frustrated with Republicans right now, because we do have a majority, even though it's a very narrow margin. We do have a majority. Unfortunately, they have just waited and waited this game out to pass legislation that would secure our elections on a federal level. And it's really upsetting. And again, we have MTG, who's retiring in just a couple of days, will be stepping away from Congress. And it just keeps getting thinner and thinner. And they just don't seem to really be moving on this, which I think is a massive disservice to the president. And I'd like to see him even get more aggressive and push back on this, because I think he's been very, very nice with what these Republicans have done so far. And it's not motivating voters to go out and support them. But, you know, we'll see as we head into the new year how Republicans truly feel, the voters at least, truly do feel about the party itself. But I want to focus on the positive things, because obviously President Trump, he is the busiest working man that I know of. So we have to give him credit when credit's due. And he's done a lot so far. So I kind of like walk through my list a little bit. Actually, the first one, starting off with one of the best things, I think the most popular thing our government's ever done, that was creating DOGE and going after the reckless government spending. I've never seen something as popular as DOGE before, as we're seeing Nick Shirley's video blow up on the internet with over 100 million views as well. I think it's very obvious the American people are tired of the fraud and tired of their money going to foreign countries. And so I think that's the reason why they pushed so hard against Musk and really went after him as aggressively as they did. Now, DOGE, they claim, is no... It's within each department, but asking each department to vet themselves to make sure that money is not being misspent is not really the checks and balances I think the people want to see. But when it comes to DOGE, what were your thoughts on this when they launched this?
Oh, it was incredible. And it was a dream come true. Again, as I mentioned, you know, my former life of just every single day writing about the ways fraud and abuse as a reporter, I did this for years. And I loved doing it. I loved exposing it. And to see, you know, President Trump coming back into office and every day, you know, he would give, you know, some remarks and he would just pull out a list of like, here's all the things we've cut today. And they were always like the most absurd things, you know, you've ever heard. And it's like, finally, this is so amazing. And it was so, it's such important work like that to be exposed. And you're talking about the Somali fraud and the welfare fraud and everything else. I mean, that's what this work is. As well, to expose that sending an email. Hey, if you're an employee, send an email of the five things you did this week. And the reason they were doing that is because there's federal employees who don't exist. Just like you have the phantom voters, you have the phantom employees. And where is that money going? It's literally just being stolen. And so I think that work was so encouraging. I think it needs to be resurrected in year two. Because he came out so strong with USAID shutting down. I mean, that's something that was unheard of ever happening. Once you get these government programs and they just have a life of their own, right? And they just operate on autopilot, and nobody knows what they're doing. To shut something like that down, that was a huge achievement. I think, you know, you kind of take it for granted because it happened in the early days, but that is a huge deal. And they need to keep going with that in year two, I think, as well.
Yeah, no, I really want them to bring it back. And I think it's something that needs to be brought back. You know, we learned that millions of dollars was being shuffled over to, I believe it was Iraq, for Sesame Street. That was like the peak moment for so many Americans. They're like, all right, we've seen enough here. We've seen enough. Defund everything. And then Mike Benz did an incredible report too this year. It's one of my favorites, where he walks through how USAID was used to buy off independent journalists who were pushing propaganda for the government, for the regime. So yeah, I mean, so much uncovered in that I think is incredible. But you know, the president also did a great job so far at going out there and trying to launch the mass deportations commitment that he laid out during the campaign. One of my favorite moves, obviously, being the Remain in Mexico policy that he brought back. That was a big one. I know recently, too, he's got the no travel bans countries that we're not letting into our country right now. We're holding off and waiting there. But then he's also got this was a good one. This was the individuals who want to self-deport. He's paying them thousands and thousands of dollars to self-deport. I think we're up to $3,000 per person now just for the holiday season as a nice little bonus for these people to get out of our country. But this saves the American taxpayers so much money rather than using the DHS sources to go out there and have to capture these people. So far, he's north of 2 million, which I think is a good start given the fact that the courts are overcrowded right now. And he's got to fill a lot of those seats, these judges and everything. And they're trying. I see the posts online. They're trying to hire these immigration court judges. So far, things look good for me when it comes to that. Your thoughts, though, on the immigration?
Again, a huge achievement, but also, you know, something that sadly had to take so many resources to undo, you know, the consequences of 2020 and a stolen election. But that is something that they worked on really fast. They closed the border down. Again, proving that the whole Biden years is such a fraud. I mean, obviously, they didn't need legislation. They literally just flew people in using taxpayer money, facilitated an invasion. It really is treasonous. And we talk about accountability. That's a whole other aspect of something that they could look into, the immigration policies that were just absolutely illegal. When you think about the fundamental purpose of a nation and sovereignty, I mean, they completely trampled all of that. So this is a huge thing that had to be done. It was hugely popular on the campaign trail, but also I think more needs to be done as well. One of my top things would be that they did this year was deporting Kilmar Abrego Garcia, or whatever his name is, because and many millions more like him, because this is destroying our country. It really is. And I know that the deep state and the media tried to, you know, prop up this guy and to, oh, he was wrongly deported, which he was not. They tried to use this as like the poster boy, and this the fake news is still like giving daily updates on this loser. But the fact that they stayed strong and they've continued deporting people like him and falling through on these promises, this is huge. And really the survival of our country depends on this. And you cannot import so many millions of people and expect your country not to change and not to be hurt. Obviously, we've seen the consequences of it, and there's more to do. But I think, you know, they got in there really fast, closed the border down, are expanding the operation. I think they need to keep going.
Yeah, I would agree with that on that front, too. Liz, I want to ask you, we only have about like 90 seconds left.
Investigators are launching a new high-tech search today for a plane that's
going to take it away from here. But I want to talk specifically about what some of your favorite moments are in regards to the Trump administration's first year back in the White House.
Yeah, definitely those two that you mentioned, but there's a lot more. I think the big, beautiful bill, and you got to kind of think of everything in the context of what would have been also, because this is, you know, again, we take it for granted, but if they would have been able to steal the 2024 election, like they did the 2020, we would not have a country. So you really have to think of the consequences and the contrast and how much work President Trump has had to put in to start turning this country around. So the tax cuts, big deal. And I think we'll start to feel that next year. And this country was really hanging by a thread. So people are kind of not as satisfied with how the economy has, you know, not turned back quickly enough, if they think. But it was a huge task. And now we just had one of my favorite moments, gas going down below $3 national average. I mean, it took us to December to get there. But I mean, that's huge. And that's going to keep going down. So that's a huge moment. One of my favorite other moments as well was a cabinet meeting back in April when Tulsi Gabbard, DNI, announced that the electronic voting machines have been used to manipulate elections. And that was a huge moment. Also hopeful that that's a sign of more things to come, because she's been working on that and other people working on that issue. That is a big deal. And I know President Trump hasn't given up on fixing our election. So looking into 2026, I expect to see more on that front. And that was one of my favorite moments. And also just personal moments of when President Trump, he went to the Fed and saw Drew Bell.
Liz, the commercial break is going to cut you off. Stay put, though. We'll get you in just a sec. We'll take you on the other side. Hold on 1 second.
So I'm not giving up. I'm not going away. If they shut us down, I got the Alex Jones Network. I don't know, and I'm going over there. You financed it. You paid for it. Your support. I'm just telling you, here's the weird paradox. I thought we'd be shut down last year. I thought we'd be shut down 2 months ago. The receiver won't let us order new product over at InfoWarsStore.com. So we're in this paradox now where we're winning, and now they're like, well, you'll actually be open in the, you know, middle of next year now and all this stuff, and there's no money because people believe it was going to shut down. Plus, there's no product. But I convinced the receiver. I said, can we at least make fundraising posters, which are very low cost, have a high markup, people know it's an investment, to keep us on the air? Kind of, I said, yeah, you can do that. I can just tell you, We need your support right now at InfoWarsStore.com. Three posters I designed. Two I designed. Rob designed the other one. Defend the West, famous Crusader King. Make no peace with evil, you know, send Crusader King, and then do like that still image of me. And it is the bestseller. It's I've only begun to fight John Paul Jones, and it's InfoWars 1997 to 2026. And yeah, you can buy Unsigned for $25, big posters, glossy in a tube, or you get it for $100. You're like, God, that's huge markup. Yeah, it's a fundraiser. Like when commies give NPR $200 for a ball cap, costs $15. That's the whole point. We're actually winning right now. I don't want to count chickens before they're hatched. It's not the Democrats. It's not the DOJ holdovers. They're going to shut us down. If you don't go get these posters and you don't support us, and I'm not bitching anything, I'm just telling you, I'm not saying you got to do it, then you'll be the ones to shut us down. This is a marathon, so please support us, InfoWarsStore.com. I need the money right now. It's like in Star Trek, Wrath of Khan. He goes, I need warp speed in 3 minutes, we're all dead.
Scotty, I need warp speed in 3 minutes or we're all dead.
And you guys have got us out of this over and over and over again. And me, I'm not giving up. We need to keep pushing because we've got their ass.